Joanna, thank you for joining me and giving me a bit of a feel for what it's been like at Moneypenny so far. Maybe you could just begin by giving us an idea of the scale of Moneypenny operations and then explain how you, as a CEO, have been responding and how different the business operationally looks now than, say, a month ago.
Okay, well, we have actually nearly 1,000 people now, and they are spread out over a location. We've got our head office is in Wrexham in North Wales, where we've got about 700 people. We have an office in London, which is a company formation business in London, with about 30 people there. An office in Charleston in South Carolina, which is just beautiful. There's about 45 people there, and about 250 people in Atlanta as well. So, and we're looking after telephone calls and live chat for businesses of all sizes. We've got about 13,000 customers in the Moneypenny side, and then a new acquisition in Atlanta. It's got about 5,000 clients as well. So, we've got a big chunk of the business base, and they come from so many different sectors. So our learnings at the moment is that no one business is the same, no one sector's got the same issues and problems. And that each one of those requires a different viewpoint, really. So we're seeing differences with the market behaviours, both in the US and in the UK. Potentially, that is reflecting the individual countries' approach to lockdowns as well, and the behaviours maybe of the public in general. But it's very, very interesting times that we're living in at the moment. It's meant significant changes to the business.
Okay, and structurally, you have got yourself into a position where you have as much of the workforce as you'd like working from home now. You guys were quite fortunate. You were just finishing a body of work which was about giving people the ability to work remotely. Tell us a little bit about that, not necessarily on the technology side of things, but actually more about culturally and functionally how that's come together and been effective.
Okay, we've moved very recently from on-premise phone systems up to the cloud, and that was part of our own disaster recovery planning and the ability to scale. And so that really has meant that it's come into its own over the past, well, couple of month or so now, a couple of months. And we've actually got every single person now working from home, operating just as if we are based in the office, taking calls and chats for our client base wherever they are. Which means that it's complete business as usual for us, which has been, well, we consider ourselves really, really lucky, and we'll put it down to good planning that we're able to do that. We are a Sunday Times Best 100 Companies to Work For. We're consistently in the top 10, top five. And so for us, culture across all our offices is really, really key. So what we really had to think about is that we're used to having this amazing office space wherever we are, and we're used to having high engagement levels with our teams, and we're already a really great user and very highly engaged on Facebook's workplace platform, which has always been good for us. But we've really had to go and rethink how culture works when everybody's working remotely. Even my role's changed in that respect, is that I've now got a remote operations board, and how do you go and make sure they're all okay? How do you make sure that they're engaged and that they're working on their projects? And then you go through to the wider workforce and think, how do we make sure that everybody is happy, smiley, engaged, and doing a great job for our clients, sat at home in a very different environment? We've always said that happy people means happy clients, and clearly we want to make sure that we deliver that in whatever environment. So we've worked very hard on making sure that people feel supported and part of a greater community. We've used Workplace a lot for this, both with our usual making sure that we share updates across the business. So even last Friday morning, I sat and did a video update of all the things that were just going on generally in the business, what our challenges are, issues that we've overcome, so that everybody feels informed. Because I can imagine if you don't make people feel engaged and informed, and they're sat at home doing a very remote job, then you're losing them. You're losing what it is that makes them brilliant, and that is the fact that they're secure and happy, and feel as if they're part of something bigger. We've got virtual cookery classes, we've got yoga being posted online, we've got all kinds of different chat groups and everything. But one thing that consistently we've really set out to do since the beginning of this crisis really is be really open and honest with our people. Very overt with posting any issues onto Workplace so that we can all have that debate and just make sure that everybody feels that there's no big secrets and that they've got all the information that they need.
What are some of the specific areas that you've made a conscious effort to be really open and honest about?
So some of the areas that we've been really clear about is that clearly, you know, our clients' requirements are changing in the short term. There has been less calls coming through. Interestingly, chat volumes haven't been affected at all. They're still at the same levels as they were pre this crisis. But, you know, there have been less calls coming through. So we just talked to them about industries that may be finding it difficult, what their challenges are, how we as a business can help them. Some people have requested to do to take a break from Moneypenny because of childcare or of any, you know, looking after elderly relatives or anything like that. And so we've been really accommodating and open as to what their options are there as well. And just, I think also on the mental health perspective too, is it's that whole, it's okay not to be okay and let's all talk about it and let's make sure that we're supporting you at this time. You know, some people are finding this incredibly difficult being at home on their own, maybe. In a bit of a new world. So any subject really that rears its head, we'll address it head on. People aren't afraid to say what they think. And then we can have the debate and make sure that people are comfortable with what we're doing as a business.
Mm. And I'm sure when you were doing this kind of disaster planning and getting this remote working set up initiated, you never thought for one moment that you'd be having people or everyone at home like this so quickly. But are there any learnings that have emerged from it that have been particularly surprising that you weren't necessarily expecting to have based on everybody being out of the office and everybody working from home?
One of the challenges that we faced, for example, is when you're thinking about how do you mobilise hundreds of people to work from home, you think, OK, what's the tech they've already got at home? Is it of high enough spec? And if it's not of high enough spec, where do we go and buy machines from that actually they can go and use at home? And one of those examples was the laptops. So you think, actually, it's going to be really easy to go out and buy a couple of hundred laptops. You know, surely lots of people want that order. But actually, when you start looking at the availability of stock and how quickly you need to place these orders, that was a big surprise. Because, of course, you know, historically, a business's DR planning, disaster recovery planning, would be something's happened to my business, how do I fix it, rather than something's happened to every single business and we're all trying to fix it all at the same time. And that definitely was not part of our risk assessment originally.
And your company, being as you are so close to so many SMEs all throughout the country, all through different sectors, sizes, all of that kind of thing, what are the kind of the comments and feedback that you've been having from customers about the real issues that are facing them? Have they been what you expected?
I might say the word surprisingly, but surprisingly, when we're talking to clients, a lot of them are actually, I won't say quite positive, but they're all planning on recovery. So there's not been an awful lot of doom and gloom stories to us from the client base. It's all about how can you help me in the interim and then how can you get me back on my feet quickly. And I think we're finding that people are planning differently. They're looking at other products and services that might not have hit their radar in the past. So they're being more open-minded. Look at us all, you know, we're all on video calls. We're all using tech that we wouldn't have thought we needed even 6 weeks ago. So I think everyone's behaviours have changed, and we've certainly seen that in our client base as well. People have gone and embraced voice recognition technology. More people have put live chat on their websites because they actually want to go and do things differently and do a triage. And so that for me is a big mindset that we've seen. It's I'm not holding my hands up in despair. I've got a situation. I need to deal with it. What have you got that can help me? We have got a few clients that have taken a bit of a service break from us. And they've done that from a short-term cash flow perspective. But there's a really big confidence rating there about the fact that they're going to be, that it's not BAU for them for a couple of months. They really have just switched off and shut the door. But they're all saying, don't worry, you know, we'll be back. We'll be good to go. And we'll be in touch in a couple of months. And these are my plans for expansion again. So from that perspective, I think we've been, there's been quite a lot of positivity out there about how it's going to feel to come back again. And I do think that it's a good opportunity for people to take the headspace and think, right, okay, I've got a blank sheet of paper in my business now. What changes do I need to make? And how can I be a better business as a result of all this?
Mm-hmm. And what kind of internal planning and forecasting have you and your leadership team been doing? Nobody knows when this is all going to end. So you kind of have to plan for different eventualities. What's been the thought process for you?
Well, there's a couple of things that are really hitting our radar right now. We'd only just done an acquisition in the US. So we've got a lot of integration work to do there. So we're thinking, okay, how do we go and push on with integrations when we can't fly to America? How do we use Visio conferencing, for example, more? How do we do things remotely so that we're not putting the whole project on hold? So that's been quite, that's been a really nice problem to go and solve. We're thinking about how we do phased return to the building. You know, clearly there won't be one day that 100% of our people will all be back again. So we're trying to have a bit of a crystal ball moment as to what the government may do, what assistance there may be, what a partial release of lockdown might look like, which sectors will come back. So we're doing an awful lot of forecasting, a lot of different scenario planning, just to see what the world might look like. And we're trying to look 12 months out. And we are thinking about marketing campaigns. I feel really passionately that, you know, we all need to get back in business and back with a positive attitude as fast as we can. You know, Britain needs to be back in business. So, you know, how can we go and go and support our marketing messages in different ways, particularly if everybody's looking at different things like alternative technologies? And it will help a lot of people out in the short term. People who might not have thought about outsourcing actually are in a bit of a different mindset. So lots of planning going on. And everything just continues.
Okay. And one final thing would just be, based on your learnings going through this as a CEO for the last month or so, what's your one piece of advice that you'd give to other people who are leading businesses, whether it's a business of 10, 30, 300 or your size? What advice would you give out?
Do you know, my biggest bit of advice is that it's okay not to know stuff. You know, none of us have got the ideal solution. We are all making mistakes. Utilize your team, share your challenges, share your worries, tell people when you don't know the answer. But between you as a team, when you've got people that you trust working around you, you'll get to the right answer. And that for me, you know, when you look at the examples of teamwork that we've had as a management team, they've worked absolutely brilliantly, and I'm so proud of what we've achieved here. So, and that's been a big, it hasn't been a big learning. That's kind of our mindset anyway, but it's that just share it, because nobody's an expert in this. We're all not making it up, but you know, we all have to draw on our experiences in the past and go and adapt them to this current situation. So actually as a group, you get there and you get to a better answer together.
Fantastic. Well, thank you for sharing that for us. It's been really interesting to hear.
Thank you very much. Thanks. It's been good to talk to you.